They stand as a role model for Muslim women. They stand as a role model for Muslim women to follow and seek guidance from. To follow and seek guidance from the pious women of Islam. The pious women of Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاه والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel we once again welcome you in our brand new episode of our program of the series which goes by the name of The Pious Women of Islam. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, there have been many such personalities in this world whose seerah, whose nobility has been mentioned, has been written down in golden words. There are such personalities who hold an esteemed and elevated rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, the personality, the individual whom we will be discussing, she also holds an immense rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and her seerah, her nobility, has also been written in golden words in the pages of history. Who is this personality? Who is this individual? Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. She is none other than Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam bint Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Who is Hazrat Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha? She is the mother of the Prophet of Allah, Hazrat Sayyiduna, Isa Ruhullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. So today, in today's episode, we will be discussing the seerah of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha and some of the events that occurred, that took place in her blessed life. Please stay with us until the end of this episode. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, you will acquire immense knowledge regarding Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Before carrying any further, let's listen to a blessing, a virtue of reciting the Durood-e Pak, of sending salat, sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The one who sent Durood upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam bint Imran bin Masan was born in an extremely noble family of Bani Israel, who were known to be those who would serve the Baitul Muqaddas. They would be the servants of Baitul Muqaddas. Her mother's name was Hannah, and she was born when her parents had reached an old age. She was born after a lot of du'as, a lot of supplications of her parents. Her parents made a lot of supplications for an offspring, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them, answered their supplication, their dua, in the shape of the birth of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. There have been many virtues, many excellences of Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrated in Ahadith Mubarakah. Let's listen to two of those. Therefore, it has been stated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He states in his Bukhari that Hazrat Sayyiduna Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he states that I heard Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying that Maryam bint Imran is the most superior woman of this world, and Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha is the most superior woman of my ummah. Another hadith mubarakah, which has again been mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Imam Bukhari la rahmahi narrates this hadith that Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he states that Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that a lot of men reach the rank of excellence. A lot of men are such who reach the rank of excellence. But among women, this rank was achieved by only Maryam bint Imran and the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna. So there are many men who have reached the rank of excellence, but among women, there have been only two women who have reached this rank. And one of them is Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam bint Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now, before the birth of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, her mother, she swore an oath. And what was that oath? Let's listen to this in the Holy Quran, that what is stated in the Holy Quran. Therefore, it is stated in Surah Ali Imran, in verse number 35, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِذْ قَالَتْ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Translation from Kanzul Iman Sharif, that remember when the wife of Imran said, My Lord, I check to you what is in my womb, that it shall be dedicated purely in your service. So accept it from me. Indeed, you only are the hearing, the all-knowing. Now in the commentary of this blessed verse, it is stated that in the part where it is stated, remember when the wife of Imran said, who was this Imran? It is stated that there have been two Imrans. One is Imran bin Yashur bin Qahis bin Lawa bin Ya'qub, who was the father of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam. And the second Imran is Imran bin Masan, who is the grandfather of Hazrat Sayyidina Isa Ruhullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu salam. And both of these Imrans, meaning the father of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the grandfather of Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam, there is a difference of 1800 years between both these Imrans. And in this ayah, where it is stated that when the wife of Imran said, it's referring to this Imran, meaning the father of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So the father of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha was also Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So his wife, meaning the wife of Imran, meaning the mother of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who was called Hanna binte Faquza. She is the one who has been mentioned in this verse. She swore an oath that, O Allah Azza wa Jal, the offspring I have in my womb, I will dedicate it for your service. This offspring will do nothing but worship you, and it will serve Baitul Muqaddas. Service of Baitul Muqaddas will be among this offspring's responsibility. How scholars this mentioned this event is that Hazrat Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam and Hazrat Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anhu were the husbands of each other's wives' sisters. So the wife of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam and the wife of Hazrat Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, both of them were sisters. The daughter of Faquza, Isha, was the wife of Hazrat Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam and mother of Hazrat Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam. Whereas her sister, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Hanna radiyallahu ta'ala anha, was the wife of Hazrat Sayyidina Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and mother of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Hanna radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she did not have children for a long time, to the extent that she grew old, and she, after growing old, lost the hope of getting children. This was a family of very righteous and pious individuals and chosen people of Allah Almighty. This tribe, they were known for their piety, for their nobility. One day, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Hanna radiyallahu ta'ala anha saw a bird feeding its child under the shade of a tree. When she saw this, she also developed a yearning for having children and supplicated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah azza wa jal, bless me with an offspring. I will make it servants of Baitul Muqaddas. When she became pregnant and swore this vow, then her husband said, Hazrat Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he said, that, what did you do? What if it's a girl? How would she do so? Meaning the vow that you've sworn. What if Allah Almighty blesses us with a daughter? How would she fulfill your vow which you have sworn? In them days, here Hazrat Imran radiallahu ta'ala said this because in them days, boys were only given in the service of Baitul Muqaddas. To serve Baitul Muqaddas, it was only men and boys who would serve Baitul Muqaddas. So that's why Hazrat Imran radiyallahu ta'ala know he became worried that what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with a daughter and the custom is not that we give daughters for the service of to serve Baitul Muqaddas, it's only men and boys who do so. So because of this, he radiallahu ta'ala became a bit anxious, a bit worried. However, Hazrat Sayyidina Imran radiallahu ta'ala, the father of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala, he passed away before the birth of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala should say. Now, how was the name of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala kept? It is stated in Tafsir Naimi that Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says that usually it is the right of father to keep the name of the child. If the father is not present, then the mother has the right or any close relative. Because the father of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Imran radiallahu ta'ala anha, he had passed away before her birth. So her mother, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Hanna radiallahu ta'ala anha, kept her name as Maryam. And what does Maryam mean? Maryam is a Hebrew word which means a slave. It is Hebrew word which means a slave. Her mother kept her name as Maryam because she sworn an oath to serve the Baitul Muqaddas through the son, through the offspring that she would get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another meaning of Maryam is Abida, a worshipper. So her mother kept her name as Maryam so that Allah Almighty make her pious and intellectual for the sake of this name. The mother of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, she intended for Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha to attain the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and demanded Allah Almighty for her chastity and dignity. So that her personality reflects her name, because Maryam, such a beautiful name it is, such a beautiful meaning it has. So she radiallahu ta'ala anha also wanted her personality to reflect her name. And alhamdulillah azza wa jalla, the pious, righteous, tough character that she radiallahu ta'ala anha possesses proves that she reflects the name that was kept for her by her mother. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now when a girl was born, Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha was born, Hazrat Hanna radiallahu ta'ala anha became a bit sad and a bit worried. The sadness and this worry, remember, was not because a girl has been born. Astaghfirullah, this wasn't the reason. The reason for this sadness and worry was because she wanted to fulfill the vow that she had sworn. And because the custom at that time was that only boys were given in this, the responsibility of serving Baitul Muqaddas. So she was worried that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a daughter. How would I fulfill my vow now? So this was the reason for her worry and sadness. It was not because Ma'azallah Allah Ta'ala gave her a daughter. This is the way of disbelievers. So the reason for her worry was the fulfillment of her vow. But the girl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed her with, it was said about her, meaning about Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she will attain such rank that even no man will be like her. Because she is the most superior woman among the women of the entire world. She will be the mother of Ruhullah of Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a special grant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha being blessed to Hazrat Hanna radiallahu ta'ala anha, this is a special ata, a special grant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special bestowment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the rank that she will achieve, she will attain, even no man will be able to attain that rank. Now a very important ruling over here that we need to understand is that even in the Hadith Mubarakah it has been said that she will be the most superior woman. And it has also been mentioned over here when this glad tidings was given that she will be the most superior among everyone. Then it must be remembered that Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha is the most superior woman among the women of her own era. She is the most superior among the women of her own time. She is not superior than Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa, Tayyiba, Tahira, Zahida, Abida, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra, and Hazrat Sayyidatuna Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. So she is not superior than these individuals from these personalities, but she was the most superior among every other woman of her own time, of her own era. Otherwise, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra, and Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anhunna are the most superior women among all the women. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Another beautiful attribute of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha is that she was brought up by a prophet of Allah. Yes, my dear viewers of Madani channel, she was brought up by Hazrat Sayyiduna Zakariya ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And the lineage of Sayyiduna Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam goes all the way up to Hazrat Sayyiduna Sulaiman bin Dawood alayhi salam. So Hazrat Sayyiduna Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam, he looked after Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, he adopted the profession of being a carpenter. So he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a carpenter. So all those Islamic brothers who are carpenters, what a great profession you have adopted, that this was the profession of Hazrat Sayyiduna Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam. And the supervision of the servants of Baitul Muqaddas was under the supervision of Hazrat Sayyiduna Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, the fact that how Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha came under the supervision of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam is very interesting. In this relation, it is stated in Khazainul Irfan that after the birth of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Hanna radiyallahu ta'ala anha, her mother, she wrapped her in a piece of cloth and placed her in Baitul Muqaddas in front of Ahbar. Who were Ahbar? Ahbar were the ulama and worshippers of that time. The worshippers and ulama of that time. These Ahbar were from the lineage of Hazrat Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salam, the brother of Hazrat Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. So these individuals, they were the descendants of Hazrat Sayyiduna Harun alayhi salatu salam. They were of a very highly esteemed rank and status. As the family of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha was very well respected and highly dignified. It was known for its knowledge. And the father of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anha, was also one of the most prominent scholars of the time among those Ahbar. That's why all of those Ahbar, all of those scholars who were 27 in number, they all showed keenness to adopt Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Because Hazrat Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she belonged to a very noble family. And her father was a very prominent, very highly ranked scholar among those Ahbar themselves. So all of them, they were keen to adopt Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. But Hazrat Sayyidatuna Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam said that I am most deserving of her because her mother's sister is in my house. We covered this a bit earlier, that the wife of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam and the wife of Hazrat Imran radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, both of them were sisters. So both of them were related to each other. So ultimately what was decided, that they will now draw lots. And whomsoever's name comes out, he will look after Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And when the lots were drawn, the name of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam came out. And how these lots were drawn is very interesting fact. It was so that what they all decided was that they will put all their pens, the pens that they used to write Torah with, they would put all those pens in the water. And whoever's pen flows in the opposite direction of the water, he will be chosen to look after Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And it was Hazrat Sayyidatuna Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam whose pen started to flow in the opposite direction of the water. So he was given the supervision of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. My dear viewers of Madani channel, Allah Almighty blessed Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha with immense virtues and dignities. She would get unseasonal fruits which would descend directly from the heaven. She radiallahu ta'ala anha did not drink any woman's milk. When Hazrat Sayyiduna Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam would come to her, she would have unseasonal fruits. And once Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam asked her that, where do you get these fruits from? Then she replied, and this reply was in her childhood, that I get this fruit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she spoke the words when she was in her cradle, just like her son. And she was brought up on the heavenly foods and not any woman's milk because of the fact that she was handed over to Ahbar, the scholars of the time, straight after her birth. So it is not proven that any midwife was appointed for her. It was one of the karama of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha that she was blessed with heavenly fruits. So Hazrat Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he thought that if she can also be blessed with unseasonal fruits, then I can also be blessed with offspring at such an old age, because Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam had also reached the old age. So he also, the hope of getting an offspring at an old age also reignited in his heart after he saw Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha having unseasonal fruits. So it is stated that he supplicated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same very place where this bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was descended for Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. So in the same mihrab, in the same room, he also supplicated. He is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he supplicated where the rahmah, mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were being descended. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his prayer and gave him an offspring, a child, a son, who also became a Nabi, a prophet of time, Hazrat Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. So this ruling also becomes open for us, apparent for us, that we can supplicate and we should supplicate at those places where the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being showered upon. At the shrines of awliya karam rahimahumullah, at the blessed shrine rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because these are the places where the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend, and we should also supplicate at such places insha'Allah azza wa jal. Our prayers, our supplications will also be answered. Allah Almighty speaks about the virtues of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha in the Holy Quran. At various places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about her virtues. In the verse number 42 of Surah Ali Imran, there have been many virtues, many excellences of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose her for various virtues. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her for the service of Baitul Muqaddas despite being a woman, as it was only for men. No other woman in the history has attained this privilege. She was made to be the most superior woman of the entire world. She was blessed with a son without a father. She was made to listen the kalam of angels. She was superior and esteemed personality of her time. She has various virtues. She is the mother of a prophet. She remained in the upbringing of a prophet, and she will attain the rank of being the wife of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the paradise. Her growth was very fast. Her growth was a lot faster than ordinary children, and her name has been mentioned in the Holy Quran 31 times. There is a whole chapter in the Holy Quran called Surah Maryam. This whole chapter is on her name. Moreover, she was blessed with the privilege of conversing with angels. Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam named the daughter of one of his companions as Maryam and kept his patronymic as Abu Maryam. She has a lot of virtues, a lot of other dignities which have been mentioned in Ahadith Mubarakah as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. How submissive she was in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How obedient she was in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This can be seen from when the angels, the malaika, they brought the news to her that, O Maryam, stand in reverence before your Lord. When this ruling was revealed for her, then she performed such a long qiyam that her blessed feet swelled and it started to bleed. This was the state of her obedience in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my dear Sami brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, we all know that she gave birth to Hazrat Sayyidina Isa ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, let's quickly go through the events of when she gave birth to Hazrat Sayyidina Isa ruhullah ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam and the testing times that she faced. When Hazrat Sayyidina Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she went in seclusion for worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam to her in the shape of a man. She looked at him and became a bit scared and said, I seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from you. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go away from here. From this, her piety and her chastity is also reflected and highlighted. When Hazrat Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu ta'ala got scared, that's when Hazrat Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said that I am an angel and been sent to you by your Lord, so I may grant you a pure and pious son. So this is the conversation that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam then conversed with Hazrat Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Hazrat Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam gave her the glad tidings of a son, she was surprised and she said that I do not possess the apparent means that women normally possess in order to give birth to a son. Because neither I am married and nor am I a woman of an ill character, then how would I give birth to a son? Then Sayyidina Jibreel Amin said that, O Maryam, the will of Allah Almighty is to bless you with a son without any man touching you. Allahu Akbar. Look at the dignity of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. That Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam is saying that this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he blesses you with a son without any man touching you. And your Rabb has said that giving you son without father is very easy for me because I am not dependent upon anyone. So after this, after Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said this, then her fear was gone away. Then Hazrat Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam performed dam on her and she radiallahu ta'ala anha became pregnant straight away. So another ruling is clarified for us over here. The chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do associate some task to themselves. For example, giving someone a child. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives the child, but Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam associated this task to himself. What did he say? That I have come to you to give you a pure and pious child. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this power, but he associated this task to himself. So it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving, it's me who's given. If he is saying that I have come to give you an offspring, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the authority to do so. So he's referring this action to himself and it actually means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the authority to bless you with the offspring. So it doesn't mean that ma'azallah, he is saying that I'm doing this without the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without Allah ta'ala giving me the authority. So if he is associating this task to himself, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the authority to bless you with this ni'mah. So same is the concept when we go to awliya karam, anbiya karam alayhim as-salam wa rahimahumullah, that they have been given the authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant and bless other people with the ni'mah of children and whatever other ni'mahs they might be. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. Now Yusuf Najjar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, who was a cousin of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he was the first one who came to know about the pregnancy of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Now he was a very pious man as well. Now when he came to know about the pregnancy of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he wanted to accuse her, but his piety stopped him from doing so. So then he spoke to her, he asked her, that, O Maryam, tell me, if a crop can be produced without a seed, if a tree can be planted without rain, and if a son can be born without a father. Upon this, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha replied, that, O Yusuf, O Najjar, that do you not know that the first crop that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produced, it was without a seed. The first tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planted, It was without rain. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, both of them were created without mother and father. Then Hazrat Sayyiduna Yusuf Najjar rahmatullahi ta'ala said that I believe in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir, has the authority, has the power of doing everything. He has the authority over everything. And after this conversation with Sayyidatina Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, this whisper of shaitan was removed from his mind. Now my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, the time of birth of Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam close by, it approached, and severity of pains of the birth increased. Now she radiallahu ta'ala anha came and sat by a dry date tree. At one hand, she was facing the severities of pain, and on the other hand, she was worried about the accusations that the people will put upon her. Now, Hazrat Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he said that Allah Almighty, He spoke to Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha from under a valley. He said that Allah Almighty has made a stream flow nearby. And Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam or Hazrat Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam struck his heel on the ground and a spring of sweet water emerged. The date tree became lush green and the dates became ripe and fresh. There's another opinion that there was a dry lake over there and Allah Almighty made to flow this lake with water with His Qudrat. So she was told to shake the trunk of the tree. Fresh, ripe dates will fall down for you. She radiallahu ta'ala anha was told to eat the dates and drink water and soothe your eyes with your son, Hazrat Sidra Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And if someone asks you about the son, then say that you are fasting and don't say anything. And in the previous nations, fasting also included to remain silent. Fasting also abstained a person from speaking. So this ruling has been removed in our Sharia, but this was also one of the conditions of fasting in the previous nations. So Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha was told that if someone asks you about this child, then tell them that you are fasting and do not say anything. Now my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, the time came when she radiallahu ta'ala anha went back to her dwelling, went back to her town, holding Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam in her lap. When she entered the dwelling, entered the town, upon seeing her, the people, they became very sad. They became very sad and started to cry a lot. Why? Because she radiallahu ta'ala anha belonged to a very noble and righteous family. They said that, O Maryam, undoubtedly you have brought something really strange. O sister of Harun, neither was your father a bad person and nor was your mother of an ill character. Then how come you gave birth to a boy? So when people wanted justification from her, she pointed towards the child because she had kept fast of silence. So she pointed towards the child saying that ask him whatever you want to ask. So upon this they became more furious, saying that how would we converse with a child who's just been born? Are you kidding with us? How would he speak to us? Listening to this, Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam stopped drinking milk and became attentive towards the people whilst leaning on his left hand. He pointed with his right hand and started speaking. Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam started speaking to people saying that I, a bondsman of Allah Almighty, He Azza wa Jal blessed me with a book and made me a prophet. Now, this statement continues what Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam carried on to say to the people. But over here, when Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam clarified that I am a prophet of Allah, I am a bondman of Allah, this was for the reason because very soon an accusation was going to be held against him that he is the son of God. And it was among the requirements, among the necessities of the prophethood of the Nabuwa that he removes the accusation that was going to be held against him, which in fact would have been against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was from the necessities of his prophethood that he removes this accusation against Allah Almighty before he removes the accusation against his mother. So when he spoke out that I am the bondman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has revealed will reveal a book upon me, and I am a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he clarified this accusation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it automatically also removed the accusation from his mother too. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed this accusation from Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha through Hazrat Sayyidina Isa Ruhullah ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. This was also a miracle, a mu'jaza of Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he spoke eloquently in his infancy, and he removed this accusation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was going to be held very soon against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this accusation also automatically removed the accusation of his mother, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So my dear brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, this is how this accusation was removed from Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and she was able to be accepted in the society. So today, very quickly, we've covered the topic of Hazrat Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Very briefly, we went through her seerah, and we went through the hardships she bore for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even during these hardships, she never abstained from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from being devout worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shall also learn from the seerah of Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and should always remain submissive in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what challenges we face, what trials and tribulations we face from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, give our Islamic sisters and all of us the ability to remain patient and submissive in his court despite whatever challenges and tribulations we face. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choices of blessings upon the blessed shrine of Sayyidatuna Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and forgive us all without accountability for her sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
They stand as a role model for Muslim women. They stand as a role model for Muslim women to follow and seek guidance from. To follow and seek